probably wouldn't hurt to have a motion on that for, again, both the Midwest chapter having the ability to do the auction part of it, and then with that, to say that Elk Mountain, Hell Canyon, and East Pennington would be the three units where the auction tag would be valid.
So I'll make that motion.
All right, we've got a motion in the second. And a third. Any discussion? No? All in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Carries.
Good.
All right, so we're at 21, Outdoor Campus East Expansion Project.
This, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners, this is a project that Emmett Keyser, Regional Supervisor, and David Parker, our Outdoor Campus East Coordinator, have been looking on and building towards the concept of adding on to our facility down in Sioux Falls to really, number one, meet the demand of potential programs that we have going on, and number two, this emphasis and this facilitation of the facility itself, in addition to it, is really to focus on our priorities of getting youth and families more engaged in the hunting and fishing and outdoor activities that we work on and that are a priority of our agency. So I'm going to turn it over to Emmett and David, and they're going to give a quick presentation on the concept that has been put together and what that would look like at the Sioux Falls facility, and we'll go from there. So, David and Emmett, it's yours.
Hello, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, Secretary Hepler, Interim Secretary Roebling. Thank you for having me. I'm David Parker, Director of the Outdoor Campus here in Sioux Falls. And if it's all right with Emmett, I'll take it away with the presentation.
Yeah, go ahead, David. Thank you.
All right, so the Outdoor Campus here in Sioux Falls, we've been here since 97. Chris, if you don't mind switching slides for me. And as you all know, working for the Commission, you know that the Outdoor Campus, we act as an educational arm for the South Dakota Game Fish and Parks. So our mission aligns directly with the South Dakota Game Fish and Parks mission, and ours is to provide education for the Game Fish and Parks and to promote R3 efforts and promotes education about hunting and fishing and conservation. If you can switch slides, Chris. So again, we've been open since 1997. We are a partnership between the City of Sioux Falls and the South Dakota Game Fishing Park. So we're located inside of Sertoma Park, which is one of the city parks here in Sioux Falls. We've been here for quite a while. Our programming is fairly diverse. We offer programming that includes hunt safe, fishing that we have at our pond. We've just now gearing up for ice fishing since we're getting a little bit colder, waiting for it to fully freeze over, but we have that. The staff here at the campus includes six permanent staff as well as varying numbers of interns throughout the year, so usually six in the fall and the spring and then usually 12 in the summer. And we do have over 150 volunteers who help with our educational program. So our current space here is an aerial view of what the campus looks like right now. If you can switch to the next slide as well. So I want to talk to you today specifically about our archery / BB gun area, and then move into the need we have for a bigger and more up-to-date space. So currently what we have here at the campus is we have, you can see in that top left picture, we have three posts that we have in the ground. And if you look at that bottom picture, you can see we will put up a net behind it to act as our backstop, so we line up the students along carpet squares that we have on the ground that acts as our firing line, allow them to pick up a bow, whether that's a Genesis compound bow or one of our Daisy longbows, and we allow them to shoot at targets that are both 3D as well as the traditional circle targets. This system works well, but it does have a few kinks in it, so Chris, if you can switch to the next slide for me. Here's a picture that I took off of Google Maps. If you look down in the bottom left corner, you'll see that white line that's right next to the Sioux Falls bike trail. That's currently our backstop. So you can see that we are shooting in that specific direction, which again works well. We block off that trail so no one walks behind our backstop during the shooting. But again, it is a limited spot. It's a small shooting area. It's worked well for us for the many years that we've used it, but we are looking to upgrade that to a more year-round solution. Next slide. A few other things to point out is the Outdoor Campus Museum, because this would be affected by that change. The museum has gone through a couple updates. The most recent look is pictured here in these pictures on the slide. So we do have a large bass that you can walk through. We have a few other haptic items that are in the campus. So a few, a fire pit that you can sit in and a working fish tank, as well as a few interpretive signs. So again, a great space, but it is a bit dated and again, needing a little bit of a facelift. Next slide. A couple other things to point out. That far right picture we call our back 40 classroom. So that is in our storage unit. We have two classrooms currently that can hold together about 50 students. So we had the need to create a third classroom. So we, in our storage area, we created a third classroom space that again works well, but could use a facelift. If you look on the far left, you'll see where we do our game processing. So back in our storage unit, we have a hoist where we have students bring deer that they may have shot that we can teach them how to process that and how to quarter it out and things like that. Last thing I want to point out is our museum space we're currently using as an indoor classroom. With COVID and the need to have social distancing, we have since turned that into a classroom space just to add for more safety and space for our students. Next slide. Programming that we have here at the campus. Next slide. So because we have a focus on R3 and recruiting hunters and anglers, we are limited in a couple spaces for just being able to teach that year-round. So one is weather. So if it's raining or snowing or really cold outside, it's quite difficult for us to be able to hold those classes. So again, when we think of Maslow's hierarchy of learning and understanding that students focus better if their needs are met, we realize that if it's snowing outside and we're trying to do archery, our students aren't going to be able to pay attention, or if we're doing BB guns, they're not going to be able to pay attention to whether it's safety or practice. Daylight is another issue for us. If it gets dark, we're not able to hold classes just because they're outside and we don't have any lighting for that space. Like I mentioned, classroom space, we're working with what we have, so we've made that temporary classroom. We do have those two smaller classrooms, but again, it's limited space. And all this leads to, again, limits for us to be able to do game processing. We'd rather have a more professional space to be able to exude that to the public. And we'd like to be able to increase our shoulder season programming. So I'd love the opportunity for us to be able to hold programming year-round in an indoor archery beacon space, as well as with our audience switching more towards families, because we recognize that if you get the family outside, you're able to get them all out enjoying hunting and fishing. And during the school year, it's just much more difficult to be able to do that during the day. We don't have issues with that during the summer because we can get families outside, but during the school year, families are busy during the day. So we'd like to be able to offer those specific programmings at night. Next slide. So like I said, programming focus has changed. Our style, again, we are very hands-on. That's the goal of our classes, very experiential education. So being able to shoot those bows and shoot those BB guns would be highly critical for our programming to be effective. And again, like I said, our audience is being family-focused. That is a struggle that we deal with in the winters, just simply because it gets dark so quickly, it's just very difficult for us to be able to hold that programming outside. Next slide. All right, so here again is the proposed change. This is a change that was started by the former director of the outdoor campus, Thea Miller-Ryan, and it is now being continued by me. I've picked it back up. We'd really like to be able to see this move through. So this is a master plan that was laid out by the city of Sioux Falls back when Thea was working on it. If you look where that red arrow is pointing, that's the projected where we would like that expansion to be. And again, this is okayed by the city. It was back in 2019 or 2018, and we have since checked with them to make sure that it's something that's feasible for them, and they have agreed that it is a possibility, and they are okay with this shift if Game Fish and Parks choose to move in that direction. Next slide. Here is JLG is a local architecture firm. They drew up these for Thea Miller-Ryan back in the day, and I have since dredged them up. I did go ahead and ask them if the price tag behind this project is the same, and it has not changed since back in 2019, so the price tag is still the same. Here's an overview again. The whites are existing building. That yellow manila color would be where we would expand onto. Next slide. Here is a schematic of what we are looking to hopefully create. It shows six lanes for the indoor range. There's actually 12. Classroom 2 and Classroom 3 would be ones that we could set up if we chose to do so. So we'd be able to put in some dividers to make that classroom space if need be. Otherwise, we could remove those to have 12 indoor firing lines. There'd be a mezzanine for both viewing as well as for perhaps shooting from an elevated position if we wanted to practice talking about shooting from deer stand. There'd be a more professional place for deer cleaning with a active kitchen that would have running water, so it makes our cleaning of those knives that we're using for processing much better. A few other things I do want to point out would be a storage unit area for the archery equipment, as well as an addition of a wellness room. Currently, our wellness room for our nursing mothers can go is back in our office space. So it's not an ideal spot for the public to be able to use. It's there, but it's not great. So we'd like to be able to add on this extra space for the public to be able to use and be very comfortable with. Next slide. Here is the artistry that JLG drew up. So as you can tell, extremely functional. That back right corner, you can see that active kitchen where they'd be able to do the processing. You can see the mezzanine in this one. One feature I do want to point out is our goal to add in windows for natural lighting, but given that archery can be dangerous, we would also have the ability to move those barn door windows to close them, that way that no arrows are able to affect that glass. Next slide. Here's the outdoor perspective on it. Again, our goal is to keep it extremely aesthetically pleasing since we are in a city park. As you can tell, matches the rest of the building, would not detract from the city park by any means. Next slide. Here's the breakdown. I do apologize for the wordiness of this, but I just want you to recognize the kind of the scope of the whole project. With the modernizing the Pittman and Robertson Act for tomorrow's needs, because it is mostly a shooting range, a lot of it would be applicable for 90% federal aid, 10% hard dollars. So there is the possibility for that. There's a few spots that wouldn't be eligible. So, for example, the wellness room or the wildlife viewing area wouldn't be eligible for that, but the storage unit would be, the range would be. The classrooms would vary. Some of those classrooms we'd also use for some fishing classes, so they might have to dip into some Dingell Johnson dollars, or some of it would need to come through the regular Pittman Robertson funds just because they would be used for teaching. Again, like I said, this would be a great opportunity. It'd give us the opportunity to be able to hold hunt safe classes inside throughout the year, as well as an inside space for us to be able to do those shooting sports. Next slide. The price point on this is somewhere between $2 to $2.5 million, depending on how much work has to go into the project. But like I said, we're looking at probably $500,000 to be able to complete this project without modernizing the Pittman and Robertson funds for tomorrow's needs. So a much more palatable number than $2.5 million for sure. Next slide. The other thing I hope to pitch to you as well today is the hope for a better outdoor shooting space. So you can see in there, the city did also write into their master plan an outdoor archery space in that bottom left-hand corner of this map. Next slide. We did have JLG draw up some schematics as well. So here's a schematic of that with varying different sizes of or distances for that berm. So we can make it a much longer berm and utilize some higher poundage bows so we can get into bow hunting in a little more of a better fashion than we currently can, just because our backstop's only rated for Genesis bows. Next slide. This one's extremely palatable and extremely easy for us to get underway. Again, it's a shooting sport, so it would fit 100% under the modernizing the Pittman and Robertson funds as far as needs. So a $127,000 project would only be $27,000. Next slide. Just want to bring up some statistics to kind of point out the need for this. I ran the numbers in the last 2 years. We've held 24 BB gun classes, reaching 426 participants, and most of those, based on the numbers, was between May and September. And again, that smaller numbers just because we don't have year-round access to be able to do this just because of the weather. Next slide. Archery in the last 2 years, we've held 151 archery classes, most of those being here on site, 7,000 folks. We're reached by this, and again, most of those were from May to September. Next slide. And I want to end just by saying again, I think we could definitely double or triple those folks that we're able to reach purely by having an indoor facility, because that would allow us for year-round opportunities. We have started looking into who we could partner for this project. So again, Shields could be a possible partner, NGOs, the Parks and Wildlife Foundation could be a possible partner. but there is still work to be done in that area. And that's all I have. If y'all had any questions, I would welcome those.
Questions? Comments? Commissioner Sharp?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good presentation. Looks like a great project. Two questions. Are a lot of your classes waitlisted because you have too many participants? And what kind of revenue projections are there that you would get if you were able to fill this up?
Sure. So as far as the classes go, yes, we do often have a waitlist for our classes, and especially the hands-on outside ones. This year is a little hard to gauge just with COVID. So with COVID, we our numbers have been slightly varied, but on a whole, if it's outside and it's a archery class, it's been filled up the whole summer. We couldn't have enough classes to be able to fill or to be able to have for the amount of folks who wanted to come out and participate. And as far as the revenue numbers, Emmett, you might be able to speak to that a little bit better. I don't know if I have those numbers on me.
Yeah, in terms of revenue, obviously we don't generate any revenue from the participants, but you know, certainly the whole idea of encouraging participation, whether it's youth or young people of all ages, adults, and so forth, is that recruitment, retention, reactivation piece that I think Tania talked about earlier. We are changing up a number of our programs here and are looking to expand our offerings to more than just the youth folks. And so, you know, many of our programs are going to be focused on college-age young people and adults who are interested in you know, for various reasons in learning the sport of hunting. So, right now we don't have any specific projections in terms of, you know, what we might see from additional revenue, but that really is the focus of the education program is additional licensed buyers in the long run.
Mr. Sharp.
One follow-up on that is, has there been a projection of what the annual maintenance cost would be on that facility over a 5 to 10 year run?
Not that I know. We have not made that projection.
Okay, thank you.
One of the things I could add is we had a couple different ideas in terms of construction of this facility. One was to go with something similar to what Region 1 has in terms of the Outdoor Campus West, and that would be a standalone building. One of the challenges in the placing a standalone building on our site down here is that we've had an ongoing partnership with the City of Sioux Falls. This is a city park that we've got a long-term lease on. They've been a wonderful partner of ours over the years, and of course to do all the snow removal and groundskeeping and so forth, and in fact in the process right now of replacing a walking bridge that goes across one of our oxbows here. It's a highly used area for folks that walk on our trails, but you know, the whole idea is you know, to get people you know, to the campus and participate in a whole host of activities. But in terms of the maintenance of the facility, what we decided to do is look at a concept where we just add an addition to our existing building, which hopefully will save us costs for heating and lighting and you know, some of the infrastructure costs, HVAC and you know, water and the sewer and so forth. So, you know, the idea is hopefully we'll see some cost saving by adding directly to our existing building rather than having a standalone building that we'd have to create those spaces, and then also, you know, we wouldn't be taking up any additional green space. The space that we're adding on to actually would be just right outside the back of the outdoor campus.
Any other questions, comments? Commissioner Whitmire.
Yeah, great presentation. This is Commissioner Whitmire. A question on the deer processing. How many deer are you able to assist with or educate or what have you in a typical season?
Yeah, so 3 years ago, the program Hunting with Derek was started. So Derek's one of our naturalists. I don't know the numbers on how many they were doing back then, but this year I believe we've had 30 to 35 folks who we've done assisted hunts with. and kind of taking them through the whole process of how to talk to landowners, how to get the license and everything that you need for that apprentice or mentorship tag, and then all the way through that processing the deer, quartering it out, and getting it frozen. So it's been a good program, and it's a fairly new one for us, and we're still trying to get the ball rolling with it, but we've made some pretty good partnerships with local folks, and it's been extremely popular, and I only see that program growing more, so the space that we have is limiting to that.